This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and hello, all you beautiful blasphemers. I have a wonderful feeling that in a couple minutes, Dan is going to explain why we started Free Thought Radio with that song.
With another Richard Rodgers song, that's right. And I am Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the July 7th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We produce this show in Madison, Wisconsin. And we air on Saturday mornings in Madison, Wisconsin, and then other times during the weekend in other cities around the country. And then, a few days later, we podcast Free Thought Radio out to the entire material universe.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group that I am very proud to have had a role in forming with my mother, Ann Gaylor, who is President Emerita. Of FFRF, we started the group in 76, have gone national in 78. We are having our 35th annual national convention this year. If your math is good, you'll see that next year is our 35th anniversary for having a group. But we actually, as a regional group, had a convention before we became national. So yeah. We're having our 35th annual convention in Portland in the fall. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
We had a minus one convention. Is that what it was?
I guess
or
so.
A zeroth convention.
And we started FFRF to remind the nation that America is formed as a secular republic, that we have a godless constitution, and religion should play no role in government, and also to be an association for the like-minded, those of us who are personally free from religion, whether you call yourself an atheist, agnostic, skeptic, blasphemer, whatever. And we have now grown from our two original members to over 19,000.
Yeah, I think we're almost at 19,000. I just checked the records. Speaking about religion and government, the efforts of the so-called new creationists, the intelligent design theory people to proselytize children in the public schools. We're going to talk today with an expert on this whole issue. Her name is Barbara Forrest. We've known her and known about her for many years. She's the author of the book Creationism's Trojan Horse, The Wedge of Intelligent Design. She's a co-author of that book. That book lays bare the attempts of these new creationists to subvert science education.
Barbara is a Louisiana professor of philosophy who was one of the expert witnesses in that famous Pennsylvania Dover trial that showed that intelligent design is not science.
So, deja vu. 2 weeks ago, we started our show with some music by Richard Rodgers. Remember that? Do a deer, do re mi. So, why 2 weeks later did we play another one of Richard Rodgers' songs? Richard Rodgers, who was an atheist, did write the music to Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from the musical Oklahoma. But the lyrics to that song were written by another freethinker, his collaborator, Oscar Hammerstein II, who was born this week. He was born July the 12th in 1895. Hammerstein had a long, illustrious career in lyrics. He wrote the book and lyrics for Showboat with Jerome Kern, who, by the way, was also a nonbeliever. He teamed up with Richard Rodgers to create the huge Broadway classics, Oklahoma, South Pacific, The King and I, The Sound of Music. Rodgers and Hammerstein won the 1944 Pulitzer for Oklahoma and the 1950 Pulitzer for South Pacific. He married Dorothy Jacobson in 1929. They had three children. He was raised in a very secular Jewish family. His Jewish father did not practice any religious traditions, and his mother was a nominal, non-believing Protestant, actually. So they probably never talked much about religion at all. He had no religious education. Although he didn't speak much about his religious views, he was thoroughly non-churched. He didn't attend any synagogue or church. He wrote no religious music, requested a secular funeral, worked with the atheist Rogers and others. So on today's show, listen for more music for which the lyrics were written by Oscar Hammerstein.
And we also started the show dedicated to you beautiful blasphemers, and we should include the memory of the villager in Pakistan burned to death by an angry mob this week, supposedly for blaspheming the Quran. And also, I don't know if we've talked about Alexander on the plight of this young man in Indonesia who's now in prison for being an atheist, for having the temerity to say what huge billions of people, more than a billion people in the world believe, which is that God does not exist. So, it's easy enough to be a blasphemer in this country, not so easy in some others. And we did read this week that physicists have a wonderful feeling that everything is going their way with the Large Hadron Collider.
Hadron
Collider, known as CERN, in Switzerland. And we're hearing all this hoopla, Dan, about the God particle. Do you want to disabuse us of this?
Well, that's an unfortunate nickname, the God particle, for this up till now postulated Higgs boson, which is a subatomic particle that scientists have postulated gives matter its mass. It now appears that this particle, or at least a boson, has been discovered by the Large Hadron Collider, with 99% of scientists certain that this new boson is consistent with the hypothesis of a necessary particle that produces a wave field that holds all the other particles together.
Because without that, we couldn't be here, right?
Exactly. There would be no mass. There'd be no gravity. We would have been doing the show. We'd be floating up in space right now. So, it was postulated. So it was like a mystery. What is this mysterious particle that holds everything together? And so one author said, well, it's a mystery. It's like God. So he called it the God particle. Well, now the God particle is no longer a hypothesis.
And isn't Higgs himself an atheist?
Higgs himself, Peter Higgs, the scientist who came up with the idea of the Higgs boson, is an atheist. In fact, you can read about him and his views on the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Free Thought of the Day. Go to ffrf.org/day. And Peter Higgs, as a non-believer, really regrets this God particle nickname that another scientist, Leon Lederman, jokingly attached to it in a book that he wrote. I guess because it, God in book titles really sells books. Higgs said, I wish he hadn't done it. I have to explain to people it was a joke. I am an atheist.
So shouldn't we really be calling it the godless particle?
Because the mystery is solved and we don't need that explanation of God anymore, right?
Yes. Now, talking about making waves, we have a billboard up in Times Square, at least through a couple more days. The one that says, quit the church, put women's rights over bishops' wrongs. And there's a kind of cute video story that the New York Post put out. And so shall we listen?
And the visual is very interesting. They show the sign. They have people on the street commenting.
After you hear this, if you want to see it, you can go to ffrf.org and look for under the news link, look for FFRF in the news, and the link to this is there.
Amid ads for soda companies and the latest blockbusters, a new billboard in Times Square is declaring a more serious message. An atheist group placed an ad on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue, encouraging nominal Catholics to quit the Catholic Church.
Most Catholics in the U.S. don't actually follow the church's teachings anyway. They're cultural Catholics. But the church is trying to exert moral authority where they don't have any because nobody's actually listening to them. And so now they're going to the law and trying to use the legal system to exert authority that they don't have.
43 dioceses and other Catholic groups filed a federal lawsuit against the Obama administration last month in response to the Department of Health's ruling last year, which mandates that religious organizations, not churches, provide birth control for their employees. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a watchdog group for separation of church and state, sees the church's crusade as a clear violation of that principle. The foundation said in a statement, "The Catholic Church's campaign should sound an alarm. The bishops do not seek freedom of religion, but the freedom to impose their religion on you." The group placed signs in three heavily Catholic cities, Dallas, St. Louis, and New York, coinciding with the Catholic Church's Fortnight for Freedom, a two-week protest to protect their religious freedom. In response to the billboard itself, the Archdiocese of New York said, "This is a free country, thank God, and the members of the FFRF are free to espouse their religious beliefs and try to recruit new members, no matter how wrong or misguided most people might find those beliefs to be." Times Square has displayed billboards for over a century, and content is not generally an issue when selling advertising space. A sign in Times Square receives an estimated 1.5 million views per day, and a few of those onlookers agreed with what the sign had to say.
"It's right. And for all women's rights, I believe in keep your laws off of my body."
I think that if women want to kind of break away, and more power to them.
The billboard, which went up June 20th, will remain in Times Square for 1 month. But whether it gets any new converts remains to be seen. This is Kate Trafficante for the New York Post.
Well, we are certainly hearing from new, well, not necessarily converts from the Catholic religion, but people who like our sign. And we also put up our famous signature full page, "It's Time to Quit the Catholic Church," newspaper ad. It ran July 4th in the LA Times.
So stay tuned. We're going to talk today with Barbara Forrest, the author of Creationism's Trojan Horse, The Wedge of Intelligent Design.
As Mark Twain said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we hope not someday, but today, you will join us at FFRF.org and come out of the shadows of the internet and Facebook. Don't just like something, but join us. And
so why do we call it Freedom From Religion? We believe in freedom of religion.
Because the reason that we picked that name is that my mother and I were very aware, she was a feminist activist, I was a college student, that people tended to not understand that the First Amendment doesn't just provide freedom to people who are believers, which a lot of people in this country think, but actually guarantees freedom from religion, freedom from religion in government, that someone cannot force their views on you using government power and authority. And actually, as my mother has always said, there's no religious freedom without the liberty to dissent. There's no religious liberty without the freedom to dissent. And "of" and "from" are really the same word in a lot of languages like Spanish and French. "De."
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same word. You can't have that freedom if you don't have freedom from religion and government.
So it's freedom for believers as well as non-believers.
Yep, we're all in favor of the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause.
And a lot of us who have quit the church, as we talked about in our segment earlier about the new billboard we have up at Times Square and other places around the country. And we played some coverage last week about our billboard, the Quit the Church billboard that's in the Dallas area. Well, here's another story about that same billboard from Fox News in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
The Catholic Church and the spot where it's located between Dallas and Fort Worth, it was chosen for a reason.
It's the latest thing driving a group of atheists, a national billboard campaign urging Catholics to
quit the church.
The rest of the message says, "Put women's rights over bishops' wrongs," a dig at dozens of federal lawsuits by Catholic dioceses, including those in Dallas and Fort Worth, to do away with an Obama administration mandate, one that requires church-owned institutions, including hospitals, to provide their employees insurance coverage for birth control, something the Catholic Church doesn't believe in.
I don't like them imposing their religious beliefs on other people that don't have those beliefs.
We're very offended that an entity that has no knowledge and no understanding of the church would erect a billboard of this nature. The issue is truly about protecting the church's right to adhere to our faith principles.
The Dallas Diocese says the group Freedom From Religious Foundation is in the wrong lane, and they're getting phone calls about the sign along westbound I-30 near Highway 360.
It's all been women who have called in to say that they were offended and upset by the billboard.
Well, when you read the very high percentage of Catholic women who use birth control, I wonder who's complaining.
Now, we also contacted the Catholic Diocese of Fort Worth for its response to the billboard. A spokesman for the diocese said they have none.
Terry McDonald is, you heard him saying, who are those women when so many Catholic women use contraception? That was Terry McDonald, who's an FFRF member, and he was pictured. And I wanted to say that, of course, the Catholic Church and no church has to provide contraceptive benefits. They were explicitly excluded, but religiously affiliated campuses, colleges, universities, institutions, which are well known for saying that they welcome people of diverse faiths or no faith to work for them, they will be required to ensure that their employees get that contraception, but they won't be paying for it or providing it under the Obama compromise. So that little fact never seems to be fully explained by Catholic spokespersons.
Have you noticed that a lot of these diocesan spokespeople say, what right does some outside group who doesn't understand Catholicism have to complain about what we're doing? Well, there are a lot of things about the Catholic Church that I don't understand. I mean, they're just crazy. But you don't need to know that much as long as you know that their opposition to birth control is a moral wrong. That's all you need to know about that issue. If nothing else, the Pope refusing to promote birth control or actively discouraging it is actively contributing to more misery within this world. We understand that.
And we understand that in this country, we do have separation of religion and government, supposedly. So far, we're holding firm on that. Now, we haven't talked about our upcoming convention too much on Free Thought Radio, and we are finding the rooms are filling up fast at the Downtown Hilton in Portland, Oregon. And we are meeting there the weekend of October 12th, 13th, and 14th. And it really starts Friday night and goes through Saturday, and then we have our membership meeting on Sunday morning. But this year we are holding a little pre-convention tour of beautiful Multnomah Falls for people who come in time for the 1 o'clock bus tour. It's about 4 hours. And we've been there. Remember, Dan, how beautiful it is?
Multnomah Falls is one of the many waterfalls that's coming down that big
Columbia Gorge
that was gouged out 15,000 years ago by the glaciers. And it's a beautiful area. And Multnomah is just one of the most gorgeous sort of two-level falls that you can see coming down.
But there'll be several places that people will go and see so that you don't just stay in a hotel and get to see nothing.
So register soon because
I'm trying to get the room blocks upped. And we have, of course, as a huge draw, the first time ever for our convention, Richard Dawkins will be opening the convention on Friday night, October 12th.
He was scheduled in 2001, but guess what happened a week before he was scheduled to fly over here in 2001?
And we are delighted to announce some new people to our roster, Julia Sweeney, who is from the Northwest, and Jessica Alquist will be receiving our Free Thinker of the Year, which is dedicated to people who win state church lawsuits.
From Rhode Island.
So she definitely is a winner. And Sarah Paretsky from Chicago, the mystery writer. Did you know she's a secular humanist and she'll be getting our Free Thought Heroine Award?
Is she the one that mentioned the foundation in one of her books, or was that...
No, but her character has been described as a secular humanist. And Max Nielsen is our plaintiff in our newest lawsuit in South Carolina, came out publicly to protest having to vote for prayer. We've had him on our show.
He's a student.
He's a student. He just graduated, and two others have joined the lawsuit there. And so he'll be receiving his award in person. We have also Catherine Stewart, who has written the book about the bad news about the Good News Club, the takeover of our public schools as this after the bell rings at the end of the day and these evangelists come in and are grabbing hold of our children all around the country.
It's like we have termites in the school system and we don't know it. Under our noses, these people are infiltrating our public schools.
And Dawkins called her book the most important book of the year. Mm-hmm. And we have Clergy Project grads Teresa McBain and Jerry DeWitt, and Dan, you'll be introducing them. And we'll have some other former clergy who are now FFRF members on hand to introduce as well. Anyone who shows up will, that elite circle.
We're going to squeeze all that into 2 days?
Well, and we are. And we always squeeze in also complimentary dessert to end Friday night, and our drawing for clean, pre In God We Trust money, and two group meals and lots of time to socialize.
So register soon for the convention in October.
At FFRF.org.
Stay tuned. We have more Free Thought Radio on the way. We're going to be speaking with Barbara Forrest. She's a professor of philosophy. She's an author. Her book is called Creationism's Trojan Horse. And Barbara was an expert witness in the Dover, Pennsylvania intelligent design trial. She probably knows more about anyone else about this controversy. Stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Days. Well, that's 1 week to be specific. Now that's what I call scientific. Say hallelujah, sing his praise, creation science 101. In the beginning it begun. And you are just beginning to educate yourself when you shun evolution.
And that's Roy Zimmerman singing his hilarious song, Creation Science 101. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we have on the phone with us today, from Louisiana, Barbara Forrest. Barbara is professor of philosophy at Southeastern Louisiana University. And she's quite a name in the evolution and so-called intelligent design culture war, as they call it, that's going on in this country. Her book in 2004, which is it's a classic expose of the efforts of the so-called new creationists or intelligent design theorists to infiltrate our schools with the Christian culture. It's called Creationism's Trojan Horse: The Wedge of Intelligent Design. She co-wrote the book with Paul R. Gross. And she's also worked with Robert Pennock on some articles. She was one of the six expert witnesses for the plaintiffs in the first huge lawsuit filed over intelligent design creationism in Dover, Pennsylvania. It's the Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District case. You can find transcripts of her testimony and other documents of Barbara Forrest's available on the NCSE, the National Center for Science Education's. They have a whole website devoted to Kitzmiller, which is that Dover decision. And you can read her expert witness as a PDF at that site. She's the 2006 co-recipient with Kenneth Miller of the Association for Cell Biology's Public Service Award. Her 2004 book, Creationism's Trojan Horse, The Wedge of Intelligent Design, is a comprehensive, masterful expose of the Discovery Institute's war to, as they call it, destroy materialism or find life after materialism and Darwinism and replace it with the Christian culture.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Barbara.
Well, thank you for having me, and hello to all your listeners.
Now, what was that like? giving testimony in the Dover case?
Well, looking back on it now, it's surreal. It seems like it even didn't even happen, but it was. The truth is that it was a great deal of work for almost a year. Every minute that I wasn't teaching my classes, I was working on my getting ready for my testimony in the case and writing expert witness reports. But at the same time, I was happy to do it because I was glad to be helping the 11 parents who filed the lawsuit up in Pennsylvania. So it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I don't expect for it to ever be repeated.
Well, we have read three of the books about that Dover trial, Matthew Chapman's books and Lori Lebo and who was the other one? We've read, in-depth books about that trial. And in each of those books, you are featured heavily as one of the main reasons why there was such a strong decision from that judge. So your testimony really did make a difference.
Well, I think that's because in the book that Paul Gross and I wrote, we had pulled together all of the empirical information that established that intelligent design is actually creationism. We put it between the covers of one book. And in addition to that, I had to analyze the textbook of Pandas and People. And that was, what somebody called the smoking gun, showing that intelligent design had actually begun as creation science. And only, they only changed the nomenclature of the movement after the 1987 Edwards v. Aguilar decision that outlawed the teaching of creation science in public school classrooms. So that was, I think it was my work in that regard that made a contribution to the case. And it also was the reason that the Discovery Institute and the Thomas More Law Center tried to get me kicked off the case. Thank goodness that didn't work.
So it arose by any other name.
Now, the Thomas More Center, is that Catholic?
Yes, I think in large part it's an ultra-right-wing Catholic litigation organization, but I don't think that all of the lawyers that worked for it at the time were Catholic.
But so we're starting to see the Catholics in somewhat of cahoots with the fundies.
Well, that's been going on for a long time, and some of the intelligent design supporters are ultra-right-wing Catholics. There is a small contingent of those people who support the teaching of creationism, which puts them out of line, with their own church, actually.
Although the new pope has been making more hostile comments.
We were concerned for a while that he was coming down on the side of intelligent design. But I think, when you look at it, it's pretty much a wash. I don't think he's really, very firmly in the intelligent design camp. When the Vatican had a couple of really major conferences on evolution a couple of years ago, the Discovery Institute people were very conspicuously not invited. So we may disagree with the Pope on quite a few things, but I don't think we have a whole lot to worry about on that score.
Well, I think it's telling that the Discovery Institute has this Center for Renewal of Science and Culture, or is it the other way around, the Center for Renewal of Science and Culture, pretending to be these highly credentialed scientists who are just doing research and writing in journals, but the name of it sort of gives it away, doesn't it? Center for Renewal of Science and Culture, and they're talking about this culture war, and it's not, do scientists talk about renewing culture?
No, and actually that was the original name of the intelligent design part of the Discovery Institute that was established in 1996, the Center for the Renewal of Science and Culture. They changed the name in 2002 to the Center for Science and Culture because they knew that the word renewal was an obvious giveaway that their agenda was religious because they were talking about religious renewal. So they now call themselves the Center for Science and Culture. It's a dead giveaway that they're not really concerned with science, and they pretend to be. They've established after the while the Dover trial was actually going on in October 2005, they announced, or it was August maybe 2005, they announced that they were establishing a research institute called the Biologic Institute, and creationists always do that when they're running out of all of their other PR material, and they're trying to come across as scientific organizations. But in actuality, the Biologic Institute is thickly populated with very well-known creationists, and some of them are even, as I discovered recently, European young earth creationists.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I mean, they have a journal called Biocomplexity, and, a good many of the people on the editorial board are European young earth creationists.
And Adam and Eve were real people.
I haven't seen the newest book that the Discovery Institute has put out, but it's a book about human origins written by two of the scientists at the Biologic Institute, along with Casey Luskin, who works as a staffer there at the Discovery Institute. Douglas Axe, Ann Gager, and Casey Luskin have written a book about, self-published by the Discovery Institute, which appears to be trying to make a scientific case that Adam and Eve could have been real people, or that the human species could really have descended from one male and one female. I haven't seen the book, so I have to reserve judgment. But that's the initial PR that's kind of going around about the book. So
my ancestors, the Native Americans, were on this continent, 12,000 years before the world was created, I suppose.
Honestly, yes.
How did you manage that?
Most of the Discovery Institute creationists are old Earth creationists. They understand that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and that's partly political because they know that they couldn't continue to promote creationism by, you know, believing that the Earth was only 6,000 years old. So they changed that part. So most of them are old Earth creationists, but they have no trouble consorting with the young Earthers in Europe, and that's an amazing turn of events, I think. But one of the interesting things that's happened since Dover is that the Discovery Institute is now promoting what they call academic freedom legislation, and Louisiana actually passed a version of their model bill. So your listeners might be interested in that, and the recent bill enacted in Tennessee is also a version of their academic freedom legislation. So the Dover trial, unfortunately, took the wind out of their sails for about a month, and then they got right back to work, this time promoting quote-unquote academic freedom.
Now, can you explain more about the Louisiana and its Tennessee bill? Did you say Tennessee or Kentucky?
Yes. In 2006, after the Dover trial, the Discovery Institute announced that academic freedom would be their new front. And in 2007, they posted on the Internet a model academic freedom statute on evolution. That's the exact title. Academic freedom is the code word for intelligent design nowadays. And so since they can't introduce legislation that blatantly mentions intelligent design or creationism, they came up with this model bill written in code language. And they started peddling it around to different states. And they got really serious about this in 2008, although they had actually started in 2004 in Alabama. No state had ever adopted any version of this legislation until my state did in Louisiana in 2008. And so we adopted what's called the Louisiana Science Education Act, which was written jointly written by the Discovery Institute along with the Louisiana Family Forum, which is the state affiliate of Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family,
in Louisiana.
Yeah. Now, before we go to the break, can I briefly ask you, Barbara, Professor Forrest, how did you become an expert in this? What drew you to this?
In 1994, a group of young Earth creationists attempted to get a curriculum guide accepted in my school district where my children were in public school. And so I got involved as a parent. And I started working with the National Center for Science Education, and it started from there. Fortunately, I had the background training as a scholar to be able to write about it as well. And so I started out of an interest as a parent, and then became a good part of my professional identity as a scholar.
We are talking with Barbara Forrest, who's the author of the book Creationism's Trojan Horse, The Wedge of Intelligent Design. We're talking about the evolution of creationism and what their new front, quote-unquote, academic freedom. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker, and stay tuned. We will continue our conversation with Barbara Forrest. Here's a little bit more of Roy Zimmerman.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our talk with Barbara Forrest, professor of philosophy, author of the book Creationism's Trojan Horse, a lead expert witness in the infamous Dover trial about intelligent design in the public schools. And Barbara, it was a real pleasure to meet you, I think it was last month in California. And I was pleased to see what a booster you are for the Louisiana public schools, in spite of, as you've been telling us, some of the recent problems you are having in the state.
Oh, yes. I'm a product of public schools, as are both my children and my husband. We wouldn't be where we are without them. But what is really sad now is that under Bobby Jindal, the state has just adopted a bill that will fund vouchers for people to send their kids to private schools. And, of course, a lot of those private schools in Louisiana are Christian academies, which means now the taxpayers will be funding, among other things, the teaching of creationism to children in Christian academies. And that's a terrible threat to the public school system.
And that just happened?
Yes. Bobby Jindal was intent on carrying that out in this legislative session. It was one of the first bills he introduced, and he literally rammed it through the legislature and got it passed in a matter of a few weeks with really very little debate or discussion. And the school year is still more than a month away, and already there are scandals swirling around this voucher program. We found out that there's a school in North Louisiana that is going to be given funding for 300 places, voucher places, and they don't even have a building. There are no facilities. It's a little Christian school that teaches children by putting them in front of televisions for 8 hours a day, looking at DVDs.
Oh, no.
And that's not the only example. There are a number of examples. And we've just learned that some of the top state officials, including the superintendent, John White, have been trying to whitewash the scandal by colluding with each other on their private email about how to distract attention from this. So it's a mess, and it hasn't even begun.
And now I understand there are, what, three lawsuits challenging this, or three plaintiffs?
There were three separate lawsuits, two of which have been merged. The Louisiana Federation of Teachers filed the first one. The Louisiana School Board Association filed a second one, and theirs was merged with the Louisiana Federation of Teachers. And then the Louisiana Association of Educators, which is a separate independent teachers union, has filed another one. And I would like to add that almost two dozen, to the last count, I think, parish school systems have joined in these lawsuits.
Good for them.
So, go ahead.
Is it good for them?
Yeah, it's good for them because they realized, you know, that this is going to take money away from public schools.
But, you know, if the creationists want to win, all they have to do is destroy our public school system.
Well, of course, the religious right has been trying to do that for years.
Mm-hmm.
They failed to destroy it, so now they just want to get funding to teach their own stuff in their own schools.
And then penalize the public school system.
Actually, that's right. And, you know, the Jindal administration touted vouchers as a form of quote-unquote reform, but it's only about privatization. It's about Jindal using public money to put, you know, dollars in private pockets of people that will later turn around and support him when he runs for higher office. So it's really about privatization. Unfortunately, there are some really terrible Christian academies who are going to profit from this.
Yes. Now, don't you see a trend here? We see reform, and that really means let's kill the public schools, and we see creationists now touting themselves as academic freedom fighters. You know, they're doing the opposite of what they say.
Newspeak.
Yes, and I might add that the Louisiana Family Forum, which, you know, got the Louisiana Science Education Act written and passed, was very strongly gung-ho in favor of vouchers. They really are in favor of dismantling the public school system. If you can't control it, then try to dismantle it. And so that's what's going on.
So what we should be watching out for is this new, what sounds good, academic freedom is now a code term for creationism.
Absolutely. It's one of the code terms that the Discovery Institute, like all creationists, has been forced to use because they've lost so many lawsuits in federal court. So they had to go back and sanitize their language. Academic freedom is the one they used in Louisiana. And another one is the teaching strengths and weaknesses of evolution. And I might add that the bill that was enacted in Tennessee just a few weeks ago is actually the first version of the bill that was introduced in Louisiana. It's virtually a clone of the first version of the bill that became law in Louisiana.
Now, that bill, we're kind of waiting to see how that's put in place, how to sue.
Yeah, and I doubt that it will result in any really quickly noticeable whole-scale changes. Those bills are for the purpose of giving cover to individual teachers who want to teach creationism. They're not intended to enact whole-scale, you know, changes in the school system. They are for the purpose of giving legal cover to teachers.
So we'll have to see how it's applied to see if there would be any standing to complain about it.
The language is highly sanitized.
Well, we took a complaint out of Tennessee. One of our student activist awardees had complained about his science teacher saying Adam and Eve were real and that she didn't believe, quote unquote, in evolution. And,
oh, that's common.
Yeah,
so she has academic freedom to say that now.
And
right?
This young man was so distressed. He said when he was having this discussion with his teacher in the class and he couldn't get any reason out of her, he finally put his head on the desk and put his, you know, for 5 minutes before the class ended. I mean, this is very distressing to students who deserve a good education.
It's important to note, though, that these laws, the Louisiana law and the Tennessee law, they don't require teachers to do anything. Teachers can ignore these laws. They're not required to do anything. But these laws, if a teacher uses them, these laws will not protect the teaching of creationism. We know that's what they're for, but they're not really, you know, they can't legalize what the discovery, I'm sorry, what the Supreme Court has already outlawed. That's what they're for. But if a teacher tries to use one of these laws to teach creationism in a science class, I think that's exactly what somebody needs to file a legal complaint. As the law is written now, that would be much more difficult unless you have an actual violation that you can, that will enable you to file an as-applied challenge.
Well, this happened, this incident happened this year.
Was it prior to the enactment of the law?
I think so.
Yeah, because the law just took effect a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it would have happened.
Which means it's in effect for the coming school year. And so we haven't, in Louisiana, for example, we haven't heard about any specific violations. We heard about the potential for one in the Livingston Parish School District where I actually live, but nothing came of it. But when a school board does act under this Louisiana Science Education Act or the Tennessee Act, and they specifically invoke that act for the purpose of teaching creationism, and somebody, a teacher, carries it out, I think then somebody could go after it. Right now, you'd have to be very careful as the law is written.
I have the gift of prophecy, and I predict that it's going to happen.
Oh, it's just a matter of time. You're right. It's just a matter of time. That's exactly right.
Real quick, we're almost out of time here, but I want to get back to the Discovery Institute, this group that pretends that they're a scientific organization doing scientific research. And in your 2004 book, you pointed out that as of that time, they had not done any real research and they had not been published in any peer-reviewed scientific journals. Since then, how is that working out for them?
Well, they managed to get, and by the way, there's a 2007 edition of the book which includes a chapter about the Dover trial. People can look at that one.
Well, I just have the original here.
Yeah, they managed to get one paper published in a legitimate peer-reviewed journal, but that was not. It was a paper about intelligent design, but that was done. It was. It didn't go through the usual editorial review channels, and the editor who was in editing the journal at the time was a creationist. He slipped this article by Stephen Meyer into it. With the proceedings of the biological, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the journal.
Barbara, we're out of time. I'm sorry. So they're not doing very well, according to
you. No, they're not doing very well at all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're talking with Barbara Forrest, author of Creationism's Trojan Horse. And we also want to thank our producer, our engineer, Dave McCann.
Join us. You can get your own copy of the June-July Hot Off the Press issue or get a sample copy by going to fffrf.org and requesting it, or phoning 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, fffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday